Welcome to the Treasury of Solomon, where we go verse by verse through the book of Proverbs to find the wisdom that God has for us. Today's verse is Proverbs 1 and 11. It says, "If they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us work privily for the innocent without cause.'" When looking at this verse, the first thing that we have to do is ask, who are the they that we're referring to? The they is from the verse before, verse 10, which said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." We're referring to sinners. So then we have to ask ourselves, who are the sinners? The concordance says for this word in the Hebrew that it means a criminal or one accounted guilty, an offender. This is an interesting definition, especially when referring to the unique context of verse 11. Sin is a deviation from God's will. It's missing the mark that God has established for us in His will, which is something that no matter how hard we try not to, we all do and we always will do. This is always the case with sin. But in verse 11, we get a specific scenario presented to us, not just sinfulness in the general sense. This is a specific type and caliber of sin. Many theologians and Bible scholars agree that these sinners being referred to here were a band of highway robbers. This is evident in the type and style of crime they were planning to commit. Barnes's Bible commentary says, "There were bands of robbers that had infested every part of the country in the period of the New Testament, and against whom every Roman governor had to wage incessant war, which shows how deeply rooted this evil was. Although this was definitely common during the days of the New Testament, it was always common to some degree. Psalm 10 and 7 says, 'His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity.' Then verse 10 says, 'He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones.'" These were criminals and murderers who made their living by plundering unsuspecting travelers who under most circumstances weren't ready or prepared for an attack. The next thing we have to look at is the phrase, "Come with us." This is an interesting phrase. The wording of this implies that there's a choice. This wasn't something that they were forcing people to do. They weren't made to join against their will. It was optional. This shows us an even deeper reality that we know to be true concerning the devil and his mode of operation. The devil is never content with the territory and ground that he already has. He always has an insatiable desire for more. He's not content with the highway robbers that he already has. He wants more, a lot more, and he attempts to make the idea seem palatable and attractive to unsuspecting and impressionable minds, hoping to draw them down this dangerous and evil path. He does so by the promises of rewards from plunder and the profits from theft. He operates the same way today. It may not be with literal highway robbery, but he draws people down paths that in the end have the same results. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mission. That's his goal. And that never changes. That takes on different appearances, but the results are always the same. The devil doesn't force people to go down his path, because then many people would catch on to what's really happening. He gets you to think that you're the one wanting to go down that path. The next phrase is, "Let us wait for blood." This is another important phrase. What does it mean to lay wait? This is referring to an ambush, which was and still is a common technique of highway robbers. They would hide where they can't be seen, wait for the traveler to get to a predetermined point, and then rush out to him and rob him before he could have any time to think of any means of recourse. The less time they give a man to respond, the more successful they'll be, which is another common technique of the devil. He wants you to be impulsive. He doesn't want you to think before you speak or act. He doesn't want you to think about how what you do right now will affect your future. He wants you to just live for the moment and give no thought to anything other than your immediate pleasure. He's drawn many people into his folds that way. We shouldn't be surprised to find that these highway robbers' techniques mirror the devil so closely. They were influenced by the devil, doing his bidding. We also see the cruelty of the robbers and the fact that they weren't just lying in wait, but lying in wait for blood. That adds another dimension to this. This shows that they weren't just robbing with the intent to get a profit and flee the scene. They were there with the intent to injure and wound. It even goes deeper than that too. Why blood specifically? The concordance says for this word in the Hebrew that it means that which when shed causes death. This idea is only reinforced in the first half of Leviticus 17 and 11, which says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." This shows that their intentions were far more malicious than just simple robbery. They were after the traveler's life. They wanted to kill for the sake of killing, killing for sport, which shows the real cruel, evil, and animalistic side of this. Next, we need to look at the last phrase of this verse, which said, "Let us work privily for the innocent without cause." There's three things that we need to point out from this phrase. The first thing is that they were going to work privily. What does that mean? This means to ambush, and it means to hide in a secret, unseen location. This reveals another of the devil's techniques. He always does his work in darkness, always does it where it can't be seen, where it won't be noticed, because doing things in the light and doing things in the open would expose his works for all the world to see. The people who are working for the devil operate in the same way. They do their works in secret places, in darkness, hidden away, where they won't be seen or noticed. If the traveler saw them, it would ruin their whole plan. Then the traveler would go in a different route. He'd avoid them. He'd go around them. They hide so that the traveler doesn't know that they're there until the last moment, when it's too late to flee. The devil does the same exact thing. The next thing we need to look at is who they were working privily for. They were after the innocent. We need to ask ourselves, who are the innocent? They're people who did nothing wrong, who didn't offend, who were guiltless. They were people who were just minding their own business, simply traveling, trying to get from one place to another unmolested by criminals. So why were they attacked? The last phrase says, without cause. This is evil. Not only are they attacking someone who did nothing wrong to them, but they're doing it for no reason at all, other than just for the sake of doing it or whatever type of sadistic pleasure they may take from it. This type of attack is unprovoked, uncalled for, and without any plausible or rational reason behind it. That's evil. There's no other way to describe that. In the Classic Amplified, we find another element of this that we don't find in the King James. It says, "If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause, and show that his piety is in vain.'" Wicked men go after the righteous because they want to mock and ridicule the righteous. They want to prove to themselves and to their companions that righteousness is foolish. They want to show that our God won't show up when we need him, that we won't be protected. But they soon find out that they're the foolish ones. They're attempting to mock God, but we know that God won't be mocked. The Lord says in Proverbs 1:26, "I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh." Our piety is never in vain. It's actually the wisest and most profitable way to live. We have a choice to make. When the devil entices us, when sinners attempt to get us to consent to go with them, no matter how strong the temptation may be, no matter how attractive their actions may seem to our carnal, fallen minds, we need to stand our ground, knowing that the Lord always makes a way of escape, no matter how powerful the temptations of the enemy may be. We need to see the devil's lies for what they are, and continue on the straight and narrow road, staying true to the wisdom and the knowledge that the Lord's given us, trusting him to guide and protect us. Instead of lying in wait for blood with criminals, we should wait on the Lord and rest in his promises. Let's close in prayer. Lord, today we thank you that you always protect and watch over us, that you always guide us and lead us in the way that you would have us to go, that you preserve us as the apple of your eye. Lord, today we rebuke and we bind the enticements and the temptations of the enemy and those who are under his influence. Lord, give us the wisdom and the discernment to see those lies and those deceptions for what they are. And Lord, when we're in that moment, we ask you to give us a clarity of mind and a pureness of heart so that the attractiveness of that enticement will cease to be. Lord, we know that you always make a means of escape, no matter how powerful the temptation may be. And we thank you that you reveal to us through the Holy Spirit within us what that means of escape is, and that you give us the urgency and the initiative to take it for all that it's worth. Lord, we know that the same way that the devil has plans, that you have plans too. And Lord, today we entrust our lives to you. We entrust ourselves to your plans for our life, to the path that you set for us. And Lord, we thank you that angels camp round about us to protect us in the way that we go. And Lord, we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today. Remember before you leave to hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and remember to like and comment below. The wisest thing we can ever do is give our lives to Christ and be born again. If you want to have Jesus as a part of your life today, all you need to do is invite him into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. You then need to trust him that you're forgiven and choose to live for him who died for you. We'll see you next time as we continue to explore the treasury of Solomon and study the King's Word together.